Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
I mean, with Tyree, one of the hardest work I know, on and off the field, actually. So just seeing what he's done and what he's like, his 6 years here, I believe, 5-6 years here. And just learning from him and how he went about things. I kind of take that kind of same mentality, that kind of role as I'm doing here. So I think I learned a lot from him, and hopefully, I can benefit from it.
That was Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman. We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com in the studio. Matt, how are you today?
I am doing just dandy, gentlemen.
So you, we asked you to come in studio because you got you go right to practice from here.
Exactly.
So. And it's mandatory mini camp, and so it's exciting. We've got some football to talk about. We've got some comments from players that we've been playing throughout the show. We'll hear some more during this hour. But first, bit of business that was made official yesterday. Jerick McKinnon comes back to the Chiefs. I like Jerick McKinnon. He was very effective down the stretch. And in that game against Cincinnati, he was doing very well. And in retrospect, they probably should have given him the ball a little bit more in the second half. Although I thought once they signed Rojo and then they leave Jeff Pacheco, I'm thinking, and you got Gore, well, there's not a spot for McKinnon. And I'm glad that he's back, but what does this do to the depth chart at running back, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crowded room now. I mean, and especially they have had Jerian Ealy working at running back as well.
Right.
So they've got 8 guys in that room right now. That's a lot. Hey, you need depth. I mean, running backs are going to drop. So there's no guarantee that the roster you have right now is what you'll have at week one. I'm with you. I mean, I really liked what McKinnon brought last year. I thought there was a lot of potential there. Maybe I thought was a little bit underutilized. It needs to be said, maybe early in the season. But I think he's still a mismatch match kind of guy. And you know what? And we mentioned Jerian Ealy. I mean, that kid actually reminds me a lot of McKinnon. So I think maybe having him around is a good influence. He's a veteran guy. Can't have enough guys who can run the football and definitely catch the ball in the backfield. That's another strength of his. So it's a good move, and you need depth.
Because you would think Clyde, Rojo, and then, I mean, after that, wide open.
It really kind of is, and you know, and with the running back position too. I mean, as good as Derek Gore was last year, that I don't think there'd be any problem stashing a guy like that on practice squad again this year. I mean, I don't think there's a risk of losing some of those younger guys. Even a guy like Pacheco would probably, you know, clear waivers to the practice squad. So you can keep a little bit more of those guys. Now you've especially got the bigger, more expanded practice squads. I think that helps out. But, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to stick around, but it's going to be a numbers crunch.
And again, this just, and I know this is a tired argument, we've all moved on from it, but it once again just highlights, you know, what a bad decision it is to draft a running back at the end of the first round, because they're so, just like, you just pick up McKinnon on June 14th. You know, a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they've got this room of running backs. You know, Rojo was a very reasonable investment. They drafted a kid in the 7th round. They bring back McKinnon. You could put together a pretty good running back group for this team and not have to use many assets, right? And hopefully they'll get more out of Clyde, but still it just highlights that once again. Look where, you know, they get McKinnon yesterday. Why didn't he sign with somebody? How come he was still out there?
I mean, that does surprise me. I mean, I know it's still at this point. I mean, yeah, he's an older guy. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that figure that, you know, maybe there's not left in the tank. It certainly looked like there was a lot left in the tank to me last year. And hey, Clyde, I still get it. I mean, it wasn't a natural selection when they took him. I understood why, because they felt like that he was a mismatch kind of guy. At this point, it hasn't worked out. If it had worked out the way that they thought, I mean, and this guy was, you know, a 1,500-yard guy and was getting 800 yards in the passing game, then yeah, that's a great move. I mean, it makes sense. It just hasn't worked out the way that they wanted to. And when you take a running back in the first round, you're bound to get those questions.
We've got Matt Derrick in studio. Nate Bucati, say hello to Matt Derrick. Stop ignoring him.
What's up, Matt? How are you, buddy?
Had any dreams about me lately?
Not lately, but you know,
I figured nightmares are much more likely.
He's so wrapped up in tomorrow. That's all he cares about this World Cup announcement.
Yeah,
so that's a, he doesn't. Yeah. There's a one-track mind over there. I know what you're thinking about.
I mean, look,
you got big soccer balls for eyes right now.
It's definitely on my mind. I'm not going to lie about it.
Are you nervous?
Well, a little bit.
You're a little jumpy, aren't you?
I'm more excited than nervous.
All right.
You know, I feel very confident and optimistic that Arrowhead Stadium is going to play host to a World Cup, which would be one of the most significant sports moments in Kansas City history. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But I'm also very excited about mandatory.
Well, you got to be excited about that.
Very excited.
Football and 90-degree weather?
Honestly, like, I was thinking I was thinking about it. I've tried to I was okay with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire draft pick. He has been a disappointment for – if you are going to spend a first-round draft pick on a running back – he's got to be more than what Clyde has been, because Clyde, I don't see much differentiation between him and these other guys. I do think there are some running backs. Like, I reject the idea that all running backs are the same. For example, like, if they had drafted him and gotten a player like Jamal Charles, I think we'd be sitting there going, you know what? Good pick. Good pick. You got a special player there that's a game changer. They didn't get a special player that's a game changer. And so it's kind of been a disappointing pick. And it is true that, like, it just seems like they're able to find guys that can work. Because the idea to me that you're talking about Derek Gore going on the practice squad, I felt like he looked good every time we saw him last year.
Yeah.
Was there any point where you're like, oh, this guy, man, we're going to struggle. We have to watch him play.
Derek Williams is undrafted. He was productive.
Yeah.
McKinnon was productive. There's every reason to believe that we're going to look at Ronald Jones. Damn, Ronald Jones looks good, right? I mean, I expect that whenever he plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and hopefully Clyde stays healthy and they utilize him more in the passing game. But it is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out as far as the running backs room. Did anything in particular stand out to you watching practice yesterday that you liked, or anything interesting of note that our listeners need to know about?
I mean, it's a passing camp. I mean, everybody keeps talking about this, and you know, just because of the rules of what you can do at this time of year. But the one thing that's consistently stood out to me during OTAs and again yesterday is that I feel like that Mahomes and this receiver group is really starting to get along. I mean, they're starting to develop some rapport. The Chiefs are running a lot of guys through there to give, you know, different players some different looks and see how the chemistry is with Mahomes and what they can do. And it seems like no matter who they throw out there, I mean, it works. Certainly, it seems like the rapport between him and Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the field is working really well. But even with him and Juju, a lot of the other guys, you know, McColl, you finally got to see out there yesterday. And after a couple of early drops, he kind of seemed to settle back in. That, I think, has to be pretty encouraging for a Chiefs fan, because I honestly don't see offensively a lot of drop-off on the field. I mean, even though you don't have Tyreek out there, and that's a special guy, they've got some other players. This is a deep, deep group, and I would be very, very surprised if this receiver group isn't super productive this year just because of how deep they go.
What about his accuracy? You hear anything about Mahomes' accuracy when he's out there? Is he,
stop it.
Is he hitting guys in stride?
Doesn't seem to be a problem. Even Chad Henne's accurate.
Really?
Question is Tua more accurate than Chad Henne? Now, that's a question.
Right. I didn't like how they dragged Matt Moore's name through the mud.
That did not need to be deserved at all. No.
You know?
I think Tua's really got a ways to go to get to Matt Moore's level.
Right.
Maybe he will.
What do you so also the other thing that people were talking about, and we'll replay this clip here, play the George Karlaftis number 16, when he's talking about the kind of defensive end he wants to be in the NFL, and he mentions a little bit about changing his body and losing a little bit of weight.
I think that part of practice, you know, as a D lineman, I'm trying to find a plan in what I do. I like my power approach and doing things off of that too. You know, I think I've grown a lot, you know, changed my body a little bit during the pre-draft process, and, you know, that's unlocked different things that I can do on the field. So just mixing and you know, molding myself into the pass rusher I want to be, and Coach Cullen sees in me.
What do you mean by sort of changing your body a little bit? Is that losing weight? Is that adding more bulk?
I lost about 10, 15 pounds during the pre-draft process and feel really good. Worked a lot on my mobility, my speed, strength too, and just, you know, started becoming a pro.
So what do you take away from those comments, and tell us more about your expectations for the Chiefs rookie defensive end?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot to like with Karloftis on the field. I mean, yeah, he's a power rusher, and he could certainly benefit from being a little bit faster and quicker out there. And losing some weight, that's great. You just don't want to make sure he doesn't lose that power. And what we can tell this time of year, since there's not a lot of contact, I mean, what you can tell is, you know, maybe it's quickness off the ball, it's handwork, footwork. I mean, those kind of things. So far, I think looks really solid with Karloftis, and a couple of things that we saw even yesterday, and maybe this, you know, stems back into the weight loss and everything, is that I see a guy can elevate. I mean, he's really good at getting his hands in the passing lanes. Even if he doesn't get to the quarterback, he's got good anticipation as far as, you know, getting up there. And we've seen this defensive line in practice, you know, tip a few passes, and Karloftis has been chief among them. And that's something you got to do. I mean, if you're not getting to, if you're not getting to quarterback and you're not getting pressure, make sure you affect them in other ways. And I think that at this point, his athleticism that's showing off, I mean, I think you're seeing him do that. And I'm really intrigued to see what happens when the pads come on, because I think that with his power, he's got the potential.
So losing the weight, is that just about getting more speed? Is that what he, you know, is that what he needs, or more explosiveness in terms of the get off?
I mean, that's the one thing that I think that most critics would say he's been lacking, and what he lacked in college was just a little bit more of a diversity of moves. I mean, hey, power is one thing, but, you know, you got to be able to do some different things. You got to be able to sometimes beat a blocker on the outside. And that's probably the one thing that was lacking in his game. So, yeah, I mean, and I will say, I mean, his anticipation, I think, has been really good. I mean, that's something that just getting off the ball, you've got to be able to do. And I think he's done that really well. And once again, maybe that loss of weight helps. Maybe being a little bit lighter makes him a little bit quicker and makes him just feel a little bit faster and more confident in some of the things that he can do.
So you have Karloftis opposite Frank Clark as far as edge rushers. And Frank Clark wasn't there yesterday.
Not there yesterday.
And they didn't give any reason why.
He was excused, so won't get the $15,000 fine. But
right. Karloftis, he starts day one, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I mean, he has to.
Yeah.
That would be a huge...
He's too good. Honestly, huge, yeah, he's too good. He's ready. Yeah.
Who else? And that would be... I don't know if it'd be a red flag, but be curious, like, you know. I mean, because there's not a guy... I mean, Mike Dana.
I mean, Joshua Kando in that mix. I mean, as far as the returning guys go.
Okay, what mix is Josh Kando in? Because he didn't play very much. And that was a guy that was described as a project, that he has all the physical tools, but it never really translated into production when he was in college at Florida State. And so are you, because I will at least hold out hope that, because he's been forgotten. When we talk about, man, the Chiefs need another edge rusher, no one really mentions him because he just didn't do anything last year. But again, going into it, he was described as a project. They said, you know, you don't expect much from him his first year. Maybe his second year he comes on. So I look at him as one of the, almost as part of this rookie class. Like, he was young, unproven, maybe didn't have the experience that was necessary for him to be successful right away, almost like a redshirt year last year. And so was it, and it was a fourth-round pick, so it's not like he was, that's not nothing. Is it unreasonable to hope that he takes a big step forward and he is one of the reasons maybe why the Chiefs haven't been more aggressive in trying to add a free agent edge rusher?
I mean, it's possible. I still don't know what to make of him. I mean, like you hit it on the head. I mean, the athleticism, the potential is all there. It's just never been tapped into. He didn't seem to tap into it in college. Maybe there were some returns early last season before the injury really sidelined him. And obviously the Chiefs have been interested. I mean, they tried to bring him back at the end of the year last year and see if he could be ready for the playoffs. They thought it was important to get him back on the field for at least a few weeks at the end of the season to practice. So I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, the Chiefs, based on their actions from what we've seen, they're pretty high on Kando. So I'm curious about it. I mean, once again, it's we have to wait and see until really August when the pads come on to see what he's got. But the potential is there. It's just, you know, whether, you know, defensive line coach Joe Colan can get it out of him.
Is he the next Tano Passanio?
That would be great.
Right? That'd be a wild success story if he was.
Like, I don't know how you meant that question, but that would be great.
It's almost like a backhanded compliment.
Well, because Passanio was a second round pick.
Yeah.
And more suspected of him. If he's a fourth round pick.
Yeah, and like Passanio was a disappointment from the level of fact that he was a second round pick, but he played.
But he started.
And yeah, and he wasn't like, he wasn't a difference maker, but he was serviceable.
He was all right. I mean, if he turned in to Passanio, that would be what? A success? That would be
a wild success for where they picked him.
Yeah, for a mid round pick. Yeah, that would absolutely. And I think the potential, once again, is even greater there because even though I think those two guys are very similar in the fact that they're athletic freaks. Kano's got a lot more bend. I mean, he's got a lot more flexibility. I think there's a lot more potential for him off the edge than there was for Passanio.
Yeah, Passanio was so tall that it was hard. That was hard to be able to get around.
He was tall and upright. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he just had hard trouble really.
But
it's getting leverage.
I can't get it around my head around the idea of like, why hasn't this guy produced at any point? You know what I mean? Like the measurables are all great, but. You'd think that if it was in there, you'd at least produce at the college level at some point. You know, I don't know.
Okay, so now, you make the point that Passanio was very tall.
Yeah.
How tall was he?
I want to say 6'6".
6'7".
6'7".
Yeah. How tall is Kanda?
I would guess 6'4", 6'5".
6'7".
Oh, is he really 6'7"?
Yeah. Yeah, that
comparison was even better than I thought.
Oh, that's what I mean. I was like, look at you. But, yeah, I mean, 6'7".
I mean,
he's physical. Like, you look at the physical skills there. And so that's why I'm trying to, because we're so quick to, why didn't they, bring back Melvin Ingram? Why haven't they signed this guy? Why didn't they trade for that guy? And look, we do forget about Kando. But then again, he might never turn into anything. We just don't know. They know. They have a better idea than we do. Okay, so what is a guy, here's a guy that I liked a lot coming out of camp. And he had his moments, but he didn't perform to the level that I thought he would last year. What is Tershawn Wharton? What is his role on this defensive line?
Yeah, that one's intriguing to me. I mean, he's certainly somebody that they've got in the upper part of the rotation. I mean, he's definitely going to be a part of it. I mean, to me, I think he's right up there behind Derek Nnadi. I mean, as far as, being, and Chris Jones as being their starters. I mean, I could certainly see him even being a, key part of that top three rotation. I didn't think that he didn't seem like there was as much growth in year two as I think maybe we expected, but also he was way ahead of where he should have been probably in year one. So, and for some guys, it's year three where it really kicks in. So he's a guy I want to watch this year because certainly the Chiefs have, once again, a lot of confidence in him. I mean, there's the reason why they've got those guys is another reason, why they didn't necessarily go out and make a big plunge in the free agency for a defensive tackle. They like some of these young guys. And Wharton, I still think he's got a lot of flexibility potential.
And then Mike Dana.
Dana, I mean, he's not the prototype, but the motor is just something you can't ignore. I mean, and he had some really strong moments last year. What did he end up with? 5 sacks, was it? And pretty limited playing time? I mean, I think there's potential there. I mean,
he's light in the butt.
He doesn't have the big size. No, he doesn't have that. I mean, he's a little bit opposite of some of the other guys that they've got in that sense. But productivity has, at least on a per snap basis, has been there. He's got some liabilities. There's some limitations. There's no doubt about that. But hey, they need some pass rushers, and I mean, at this point, give him a chance.
Okay, so is this just sunshine pumping and saying, okay, look, they've got some young guys that maybe we're not excited about, but they've evaluated them and they feel like they're comfortable with Clark, Karlaftis, Mike Dana, Josh Kando, maybe Malik Herring, maybe Elijah Lee has a chance, or will we eventually see them go out and acquire a veteran like we all expected and we're just trying to make this seem better than it really is?
Yeah, I still think there's a strong possibility that they're going to add another veteran to this group. I mean, some of the names that are still out there are certainly guys that I would expect to wait until after June so they don't have to be out on a practice field in 90 degree heat.
Give me a name. Is there anything? Is there a name that you're waiting for that you think this makes sense?
I was talking to a colleague a few weeks ago who really talked me into this. Ryan Kerrigan, it really intrigues me because that guy is, George Karlaftis 10 years older. And that's a guy that I think maybe Carl Loftus could really, you know, learn from. It's a power rusher. You know, he's much more of the Carl Loftus model than Frank Clark is or anybody else that the Chiefs have. And he's a veteran. Once again, I think would be good for the younger guys. So, you know, may not be huge productivity. But, you know, at this point, you're not going to get an edge rusher who's going to be able to come in and play 70% of the snaps. What you're looking for is a rotational piece that can give you some good work. And if they can be a mentor to the young guys, more the better.
Check some of the names here that are still available. According to this list of best available free agents to the left, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers is a solid vet. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Justin Houston, but again, that's not in the cards. That's
probably not. And even Flowers' price might be an issue too.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
I don't know about that one. I don't know if it'd be a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at names that, and who knows, it might be a trade.
It could be.
Right. So we'll take a break. We'll talk more with Matt Derrick about Chiefs mandatory minicamp after this on WHB. This is a great song. Cool It Now. That's what I wish Jeff Penner would do. Cool It Now with this effing weather. I don't like this hot weather, Matt Derrick. You like it?
I like it better than cold.
You know, I'm to the point now. Give me. I take 40 in a heartbeat right now. I take 35, 40. What are you shaking your head for? You like this better?
Absolutely.
This is awful.
No.
I go outside for 1 minute and this is disgusting. Can't do nothing in it. What do you do in this?
Go to the pool.
I don't want to go to the pool.
That's what you got to do.
Is it because it's not perfect weather for
living
rhinestone cowboy performances?
I don't like. I don't like wearing shorts.
Mm.
I hate wearing shorts.
Why is that?
Because I'm a man. I wear pants.
Ah.
I'm gonna wear pants. Okay. I wear the pants in my family. No, I don't. I like to wear hoodies. I like to wear running suits. I like to wear pants. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And, again, here we go again. I don't want to see anyone's feet.
Well, I agree with
Fair
that.
Fair point.
I don't want to see anyone's feet.
I don't have to deal with anyone's feet when it's 50
gross.
Degrees.
Feet are pretty gross. I'm with you on that.
You know, especially in this office. I'm just going to tell you again. In this office. If you got your feet out, if you got your feet exposed, and you're a man, you got a big, big problem with me. You better walk the other way if you see me coming down the hall. That's all
you
I'm
better
saying.
At least paint those toenails.
Inappropriate
Matt knows
workplace.
This.
I agree.
It's exactly right.
I've got incredibly disgusting toenails.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear about that. You don't see me showing my feet to people.
No, I don't like to do that either.
Okay? I'm just telling you, that's exactly what Matt just said, inappropriate in the workplace.
100%. I'm with
Thank
you on
you.
That, but I like to wear shorts. Matt's got some nice shorts
that's
on.
That's fine.
Here.
Do you have your feet covered?
Yeah, I got my feet covered.
Much like Kenny Loggins, meet me halfway.
I put a lot of work into these leg muscles. I like showing these legs off a little bit.
I just think everyone should wear pants here. That's all.
Nah.
Keep your pants on. Keep your pants on over there, Nate. Are you excited about the World Cup?
Who wears short shorts? I wear short shorts.
Right. Are you excited about this?
I like
this,
the fact
or
that the short shorts are kind of coming back now.
Don't try to placate him about this World Cup thing.
Well, I mean, I can't hide from who I am.
Who are you?
I am someone who just does not like soccer.
Wow.
I mean,
why don't
I'll
you reach
it,
over there
I
and smack him in the face? It'd be the same thing.
I've at least become progressive enough that I no longer openly despise soccer and hope for its demise.
Well, you've made some progress.
I'm largely indifferent to soccer in that it's great that other people enjoy it. I do not begrudge them for enjoying it. And I wish Kansas City success when it comes to it because it's good for all of us. I just don't want to be involved.
You want the World Cup here.
It would be great for Kansas City.
Would you get involved in that? Would you go to a World Cup match? If Nate called you and said, hey, I got a couple tickets.
I would not take that joy from someone else. Right. I know that would mean much more to someone else than it would be to me.
That, to me, is the right approach. He does not want to steal someone else's joy, someone that could enjoy those seats more than him. He's not going to take that, right? That's good.
But there's going to be all kinds. The thing about it is, if
how much are tickets going to be to this World Cup?
No.
Don't tell me you don't know.
I don't know.
Mr. Soccer.
No, I've never
all
been
you
want to
do
Cup.
Is talk about soccer every day, and then I ask you something about soccer. I don't ever want to hear. I don't know from you.
I would guess there'll be.
Give me an idea.
I have no idea.
You have zero idea how much a World Cup ticket is.
Zero idea. I've never been to the World Cup, let alone in Kansas City.
Ridiculous.
How am I supposed to know that?
You've never looked up, tried thinking about going to a World Cup ever?
Well, I thought about trying to go to the World Cup in Brazil and then realized that there's no possible way I
can
go.
Marco, can you research?
That'd be nice. I'd like to go to a lot of places in my life.
I'd like to know. Maybe I want to go, but I want to see what this is, you know.
I guess you can get tickets. I mean, it's a 70,000-seat stadium.
I know you can get a ticket. I want to know how much it is, because what was the complaint these people were saying about the U.S. men's national team for a friendly? They were price gouging.
Yeah.
And people don't want to go to that.
And you could get tickets for $75 to that game, by the way. That's not that bad.
Hey, for some people, that's too much.
I understand that.
You got a family of eight.
I understand that, but I'm just saying.
You got six kids trying to take them to
the game. That's a lot. That'd be a lot to go.
That's a big family.
That'd be a lot to go.
What do you got in there? You got something?
So, World Cup for Qatar coming up. Group stage games are ranging from 105 to 210 a ticket. And then in the finals, they're right now 455 to 1,100.
That's in Qatar, though. They'll be higher in the United States.
Well, and also matchups can
right.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what teams are here, all that
United
stuff.
States, $1,000 to get in the door. A grand.
I would just tell you, Matt, you know, don't be a part from, be a part of. You know, just join in. You get to cheer for America.
Hey, Davey B has been trying to get me into soccer for years.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's not a great ambassador for anything.
That
doesn't help soccer, okay? Nate helps. Davey B drives me away from things. I don't know. That's not going
to
help.
But I have I have been to 3 sporting games.
Yeah.
They are 0-3. So you do not
keep
want
your ass away from
that's
sporting
what I'm
games,
saying.
William, Matt. My
that's
God, yeah, we don't want you.
Well, that's
we
infuriating, isn't it? This year, or is it recently?
All time.
Okay,
yeah,
all
time, man.
All right. Okay, that seems like the hype train on Justin Ross has settled a little bit.
Yeah,
it feels like.
Seems like it probably should.
Is he going to make the opening day active roster?
That is an excellent question. Right now I would probably say yes.
Yeah. Because you can't try to sneak him through waivers.
No.
Or get cute with him.
The best thing that you could do with getting cute with him is if, you know, he breaks a hangnail or something in the third preseason game.
Right.
Oh, you got to stash him on IR now.
Right. You can't Nate would try to get cute and slipping him through waivers. You know, now I could see him strain that old hamstring.
Uh-oh.
Oh, damn it. Came up lame on the last play of the third preseason game. We got to put him on. But I do all hold out hope that he could, because we know the four. We know the big four, the four horsemen, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, MVS, and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's done. Cement, ink. Josh Gordon. I fight with people about this. I still have hope, not that he's going to come in and be the savior and be the Josh Gordon he was years ago, but I still think he can be good enough for the full offseason in this system and working with Patrick Mahomes II down in Texas. Why can't he be one of the top five receivers on this team? Why not?
He absolutely could. I mean, he's absolutely in that mix, and that's where it gets really tough. I mean, he's in that group. Justin Ross, you're going to keep him. He's obviously one of those choices.
Is Reese Fountain in that group?
He absolutely should be. I mean, if for no other reason, then not only I think is he a pretty talented receiver, but I would argue that of the remaining group, he's probably your most well-rounded special teams player, which if you're going to be the fifth or sixth receiver, you better be able to play special teams pretty well.
That's a good point, special teams.
And Justin Watson also, I mean, he's a very good special teams player and honestly has looked great through this entire offseason period.
Mahomes pumped him up, and that's a signal like, okay, better pay attention to him. And so you think that that's legitimate? He could actually, he's battling for a roster spot.
It's legit. I mean, the speed is obviously an asset, and he's proven to have very reliable hands, seems to know what he's doing. He's definitely flashed during this period.
But Corey Coleman.
Corey Coleman's, I would say he's probably had a few dropsy problems.
Oh boy.
That would have been on my radar a little bit that doesn't need to be on my radar.
Right.
I mean, he's still getting plenty of looks, though, so I put him in that group, too.
Okay, so we think six wide receivers.
I mean, if you're keeping Ross, I think you have to keep six.
Right, that's right. And so then tight ends, Kelce, Blake Bell, Noah Gray, Jody Fortson.
Yep.
Is Fortson good? Is he good to go?
He seems like it. I mean, he's been a full go of late. So,
do you think all four of those guys I just mentioned are on the team?
I have a hard time dropping any of them. Yeah, I think all four of them made the team.
Nate was super unimpressed with Noah Gray. Do you think he makes the team?
I think he does. I mean, I think there's just still a lot invested.
You criticized him a lot last year. You did.
I thought you said super impressed.
Super unimpressed with Noah Gray.
Super unimpressed.
Super unimpressed. You were very critical of him. And so I'm asking if he's going to make the team. Because that's, you know, he's a fifth-round pick. I like him. But I will be the first to admit he did not do as much as I hoped he might have, you know, especially after Jody Fortson. Because I hear people mocking Jody Fortson.
Who?
And talk about it in the commercial break.
Uh-oh.
But he, you know, like because we get excited. You know how it is, Matt Derrick. You spend all these days up in training camp, and guys start to make plays, and you get excited about them, and sometimes they don't pan out. But I really thought that when it got to the regular season, he was on the cusp of really carving out a nice role, especially in the red zone. He was, and he had had that, remember that big long catch, the game that he got hurt? And I'm thinking, we've been talking about him for a couple years, being a star at camp. Here he is, and he's finally going to be at least be a factor, and then he gets hurt with the Achilles. And so do you think he can still come back? Because I think he would have been a nice option in the red zone last year for this team. He was turning into that, right?
Yeah, and that's the one advantage that he has over Noah Gray is he's got a height, and that's the one thing that, I mean, Noah Gray is you look at it, and there's not a lot of productive tight ends today's NFL that are at his height. I mean, most of them are 6'4", 6'5", a little bit bigger and everything. I mean, he is in that, you know, Trey Burton, is it Evan Ingram, I guess, maybe was in that category too. I mean, you can be a shorter tight end and be productive, but are you going to be a red zone target? That makes it a little bit harder. I mean, and that's one area where Jody Fortson, I think, has a distinct advantage.
And so I like, because I just, it's better now, but when it's Achilles, you always.
It's always a concern.
How will they come back from that? Do you have any comments about that, this group of pass receivers that we're talking about?
I'm more impressed with Fortson than Gray.
Oh, yeah, I am, too.
You know, like, I just...
And it was starting to pay dividends.
Yeah.
Their patience with him.
Like,
that's
right when you're like, oh, man, look, this guy might... Because with both guys, there's always preseason hype on some guys, and then the real games start, and you realize, okay, that was all preseason hype, and it's probably not going to happen with that guy. And all of a sudden, with Fortson, you started to think, maybe he's starting to fit, you know, to fit in, and maybe they're figuring out how to use him. He's got some things to jump off the page at you, and then boom, that happens. That was really disappointing, and I don't want to get too carried away over it because it was just a glimpse. We just got a glimpse of him, but I think a glimpse is more than we've literally gotten from Noah Gray so far. And I'm not trying to pick on Noah Gray, but I just don't
stop picking on him.
I saw a lot of drops from him in the preseason. I don't see anything physically that tells you, oh man, this guy. He's not bigger, stronger, faster than anybody. So he better do everything right from a tight end position to be a guy that really helps you. And I just haven't seen it yet. So we'll see. Maybe he makes a step forward this year.
We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. I got a question about the defense. Even though he's not on the team, do you still think Dan Sorensen will get too many snaps for the defense this year?
He might get an appropriate amount this year.
Right. I feel like, even though he signed with the Saints, I still feel like I'm going to see him on the field.
He will probably be underutilized this year.
Right. Well, there you go. There you go again. Did you listen to the whole podcast of Tyreek Hill?
I did.
Did you?
I listened to a big chunk of it at like 50% speed, so I could get through it faster.
Did you? did you think? Did it make any more sense in that fashion?
I mean, I think it accomplished exactly what it was, which was to present a rationalized reason for Tyreek Hill departing Kansas City that he feels like
that he fabricated. Makes him,
I don't think fabricated, but it's, I don't know. It seems like, and we're going to, you know, hey, we're going to slowly at some point hear probably the Chiefs side of things too, and the truth will be somewhere in the middle. But it was, I think, probably a idealized view from Tyreek's standpoint about the departure.
Do you think any of it needed to be said?
I don't think anything needed to be said.
Right.
No, no.
That's what I say. Nate?
You got
Matt Dirk sitting right in front of you, finally. You got 2 minutes. You ask him anything, he said. Doesn't matter. Football, whatever. Whatever's on your mind. Drop it like it's hot.
Do you think?
I can't wait to hear this.
This is really looking good.
Do you think there's any truth? There's one thing that Tyreek Hill said that I wonder if there's any truth to, which is, did the Chiefs really make him an offer to make him one of the highest paid wide receivers, or do you think that maybe they decided? It's time to move on from this. What it's going to cost to really sign him is not worth it to us, and it's time to move on and make a trade.
That's probably where we get into some stickiness, because you know teams and agents go so far out of their way to avoid offers until I think the final offer is on the table. So then they can always say, well, you know, we talked about things, but it was just in broad terms. I think the Chiefs were ready to make Tyreek Hill one of the highest paid receivers in the league, if not the highest paid receiver in the league. And the Davante Adams deal messed that up. And I think that was probably a foregone conclusion anyway, that the Davante Adams deal was always going to mess things up.
Why don't you tell people about ChiefsDigest.com?
You can go to ChiefsDigest.com, and I have a little over 2,000 words up from yesterday's mini camp. We'll do the same thing today. Tell you everything that's going on that we can.
2,000 words already.
That's right.
ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, I hope it was worth your while to stop by here and see Nate.
Absolutely. Always to see both of you guys. Oh, and Marco right. And everybody.
Nate's mad at you right now.
He should be because of my...
You've hurt my feelings.
My intense indifference to soccer.
Right.
Intense indifference. I like that phrase.
We'll be back tomorrow, I think. Right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.